Accession number 28759, reel 4.
Graham, do you want to stop? Are you doing okay?
Yeah, that's all right.
Good. Okay.
As long as you think it's okay. We're
fine. Let's forge on.
Well, we were in this where we could see the shoreline and fairly apprehensive. And there was one gun that was firing, a postal gun somewhere, but they obviously couldn't see where they were firing because it was landing out to sea a bit, but not interfering with us anyway. But we went to say, right, come on, let's go ashore, you see. And we did, and about 300, 400 yards from the shore, the landing craft was on a bank. Although it said there was some water there, but we couldn't go any further, you see. And sometimes they used to winch them. But we were facing the wrong way. Anyway, there we were, stuck there. And I thought, well, this is silly standing here. He said, the Germans are not going to know we're here. We'd better get the hell out of it. So we agreed we'd do what we could. So, and just at that moment, a dinghy with a chap, scrambled egg, he was a commander, came alongside and said, come along, you men, get ashore, get ashore. He said, right, we'll get ashore. So we let the thing down, and somebody said, well, how do you use it on the end of the ramp? So I don't know. So we had all this trouble, you see, gas mask and all the other things. So being, you know, said, we can't wait here, better try it. So I then stepped off the end and sank. Much to the amusement of everybody else on the landing craft. However, they leaned over the air and they pulled me up. So I said, well, it's a bit deeper than we think. So they said, righto, we'll run a bend carrier off the end and raise the thing up a little bit. And we did, we ran a bend carrier off. So I said, well, who does it belong to? And the chap said, oh, it's one of somebody's. So they said, right, we'll sacrifice that. So we dropped that in and put the ramp on top of that. And then my driver revved the thing up and said, what about it now? So he said, oh, yes, I can get ashore. And that, because we were waterproof. And there was a white scout car on the track. And he did his shot off the end. It sunk a little bit, but he kept going. And we were ashore. He'd take all his clothes off. He was rather wiser than I was. And some Sikh party, landing craft party. Of course, when he got there, I remember Baker was the driver. And he opened the thing. And this Sikh was so astonished to see a nude man. His eyes. And then, well, there was no resistance there at all. There were the commanders had got ashore. They were in the village square, which is quite close to the houses and things. And they'd got some instruments and they were playing music. And that was our landing there into Europe. So we were very lucky. We got lost a bit during the night because trying to find the battery headquarters and various things, but we managed to form up. And the next day...
I wonder if we should have an exact date for this. If you give me the book, and I can sort of follow us through
follow it through. Sicilian campaign, that's what you want, isn't it?
That's right, here we are. So this will be... Thank you. Just get... right. So you landed on the 10th of July.
Yeah.
At Casavide. And... Right, so, okay, so we've got the 10th. So now we're talking about the 11th. You've got yourself...
Well, then we went through the night, and we didn't get anywhere. We didn't know where we were, because I hadn't formed up with the rest of the battery. But we found them in daylight the next day, and moved up. And we were just short of a place called Priolo, which was the first... We met the Germans then. They got some anti-tank guns on the road. And We deployed the batteries as a regiment so we could support the infantry. But various other people had landed, the Americans had landed, and generally speaking, we moved through to up the road towards the Catania plain. And I think we were the 50th Division then, and I know we were with the Black Watch. They were the infantry in front of us. And then we came to the Primasoli Bridge. It was the first action we had, and that was a bit of a shamozzle because we landed some paratroopers ahead of us, and the Germans landed paratroopers as well. And we were on the opposite side of the river, and a friend of mine, John Atkinson, had got up to the Primasoli Bridge, and we were trying to secure that because we knew it was mined. And he had a Stuart tank, his OP. And they deployed one of the brigades, infantry brigade. So there was that was really the first bit of battle. The idea was to get onto the Catania plain because that was a vast aerodrome, really, for fighters and the RAF. Wanted to get that and operate from there. Because at the moment they were flying from North Africa and Malta.
It says here in the book that you were opposing the Hermann Göring Division.
Yes.
Who were sort of crack troops, I think.
Well, they were varied, yeah.
So what happened then at Priori Bridge?
Well, we eventually, the infantry were able to secure the bridge, and engineers came up. Because I always regarded the war in Italy as an engineers' war, because they used to have to do all the clearing up in mines and so on and so forth. Because the Germans were really, the whole thing in Italy was a retreating mode, blowing the road out where they could, blowing the bridges, put mines down, covering it with machine guns in observation positions. And very often, a lot of the battles in Italy were virtually started off as a couple of tanks going forward and then meeting some opposition and the infantry, then sending up infantry and the engineers to clear the mine. And it then sort of opened up into a battalion to a brigade operation. Once or twice when the Germans had built some strategic areas, different lines, they called them different lines, Gothic line and Gustav line and things like that. And then the thing became a sort of division job. We have various other jobs then. And then,
But then this would be the first time that you fired a shell in anger, I suppose, at Priori,
yeah.
Was it?
Oh, yes.
And how did you find that experience? I mean, was it using these guns in and being fired back at? How did that work out in practice?
Well, we were either very lucky. We chose good gun positions, and we had a better than other field guns, like the 25-pounder, we had some protection. We carried ammunition in the tank itself. But until, literally, it was a war of movement, really, penetration and withdrawal, a bit rather like with the BEF before Dunkirk. You know, they got surrounded, we were doing the same thing to the Germans, actually. And after all, they only had an exit going up the coast alongside Etna to Messina, or where the Americans were, and the bulk of the lot, Patton's lot, were going on the western side of Etna, really, up towards the capital. And so it was a war of manoeuvring, really, and the Germans, you know, had to take the plunge and say, well, we'll go back, blow things up, and try and resist as best we can.
So how long did that last? I mean, for the next...
Well, then...
moving at night, moving in the daytime, how did
We used to move, yes, in the daytime, I think, mostly when it was clear. But you leapfrog through different brigades. And resistance wasn't very great, really. We got, every time we went from Syracuse, Augusta was the next place. The Navy went in there. I remember watching the Navy destroyers going into the harbour there and firing. We had it on above that and on the hills. And then when they got onto Catania Plain, Catania was a city, and that was, they evacuated that, the Germans. And they left it open to us. We did do a bit of beach hopping. We had two or three, one of the lots of guns went into landing craft and went up towards Messina, because by the way, I think probably the roads were blown. We couldn't get up there. And then we were pulled out because we weren't required, really, and got ready for the next operation, which was really going from Sicily to, for us anyway, because we were then in the 5th Army, whereas the 8th Army was up at Messina and went across at Messina, and General Montgomery was landed then on that side. And so there was the 8th Army going up Italy from Messina area, whereas the 5th Army was going to take Naples. That was the plan.
So you, before we get you being taken, pulled out from Sicily, what were the reactions of the Italians that you met, and civilians?
Well, we just had masses and masses and masses of Italians.
Prisoners
of war, which we had to feed. And somebody had the bright idea, said, well, how are we going to get over these? Well, somebody in HQ said, well, what we'll do is we'll tell the Italians, all the ones who live in Sicily can push off home. And so most of them did, the whole lot. All said they were Sicilian. That's so one or two problems, I think.
But how would you look after prisoners if you were?
Well, it was with difficulty. Well, actually, I did know a bit about it because my brother-in-law was in Amgot, which we always said was ancient military gentlemen on tour. But they were going to run the show, the silly thing. This is what I thought was so bad about this recent thing in Iraq. When we went in Iraq recently, we didn't seem to have any follow-up to organise the show, really. It's left to the army, which is the brigade, which didn't have the people or the equipment to do this. And I don't know whether they'd thought about how they were going to feed all these Iraqis and everybody else, or get the drains working and the water working. And I suppose they are trying it now, but now they've reached the stage where they're not very popular and they get shot at. You know, there's a bit of a, I don't know, maybe a mistake there. But my brother-in-law was one, and he had a counterpart, an American major, he was a major, and they were given a vast area to cope with the Italians, get them back to Civvy Street, feeding, the law, police. But they had thought about it, because they had the base of North Africa behind them. which they were able to use for a lot of it.
And how did you find the Italian POWs? I mean, did you have any direct...
We got on with them very well, they were all right. I think they'd had enough in North Africa, actually.
They wanted to get out of the war.
I think so, because they had so much to lose, really.
What about casualties in your...
Well, we had vast casualties from malaria and sandflower fever.
And these people were shipped out, I suppose, back to...
Yes, where they could. It was a medical job, really. I don't know what they would have done without the medical stuff. My wife's father, he was head of Barrows Wellcome, and he'd spent the war flying back to Canada and America to get drugs and manufactured there, and an amazing setup, because we did have drugs and things like that,
But the yellow, the mercury, what are those tablets called?
Mepocrine
tablets didn't work then, presumably, or people didn't take them.
Well, that was a difficulty. You were supposed to take them on parade and have them, but... I mean, in Anzio, you see, we had a definite parade because they thought, inadvisedly, at Anzio, that if they got malaria, they'd get back to Naples. And because Anzio got rather small, and the... people, the two hospitals, we had an American and we had some Australian girls, nurses, and British nurses in the hospital there. And I mean, they had a horrible time because they got shelled so much. And we had great dugouts, thing with canvas tents, really, for the wards. But they were right alongside dumps, ammo dumps, petrol dumps. Every time they had this gun that was in a tunnel on the Alban Hills, which we tried to bomb and shoot at, but we didn't manage to stop it. But every night they used to open up and shell these areas, and of course it was very unpleasant for them all. We used to have them up in our gun lines because it was quieter. They used to come and have tea with us and that's it.
But I mean, this is jumping ahead a bit. Going back to Sicily then, so the first landing has been a success. Mm. You then move on to Catania. Do you go into Catania itself?
Yeah, well, the regiment was stood down because we needed to recondition the engines and so on, because they have a limited hour period, 600-700 hours. We done a lot of firing, actually. It doesn't sound as though we did fire, but we did a lot of fire. And so for maintenance, we had the boats had housing accommodation in Akiralia on the coast, and it was quite nice. And we would get equipped there. What happened to most of the people there?
The regiment came out of action on the 17th of August and concentrated first at Kagi, it says here, a delightful village in the hills, which had been captured personally by the second in command and survey officer, and later near
Akiralia.
One further episode, a landing was made south of Messina.
That's right, the 56th battery, isn't it? Yes, Tomb's troop. I was in the 50s. Yes, mainly because of the demolitions along the road to Messina. Well, then we were all pulled out of there.
Were you part of that?
No, I didn't go landing there. That was 50 battery. E troop, one troop. That meant four guns. With the 4th Armour Brigade. We used to support a tank brigade, usually.
So the engines are reconditioned, and you have a sort of brief period of rest and recreation.
Rest and recreation.
What did you do for rest and recreation?
Swimming.
You didn't fraternize with the beautiful girls of Catania, or
No, we didn't see much of them, really. Little folks did. They were very popular with the Italians. We had a flat in Rome eventually.
We'll come to that later. So how long do you spend reconditioning and getting?
Well, then we took off for.
This is on August the 17th. You were stood down.
And then we went to Salerno with our next visit.
Early in September, the regiment moved to
Tencor, Milazzo, and prepare the invasion of Italy. Guns which had been retracted, etc. That's what they had to do. Put
sorry.
New tracks on them.
It's okay.
I'm not too up.
No problem. I fell out of a tree with a chainsaw last week, and this hand is all seized up.
Oh dear! Awful.
Right. So. Early in September.
The Italians surrendered, that's right, on early September, and we were getting ready, and so we went up to Palermo, the docks there, and with a view to loading up.
Okay.
We had to load up with Emma. And then you asked about casualties. Inevitably, there were casualties. And during the campaign, two officers, eight other ranks were killed, one officer and 12 other ranks wounded. The fighting not been really heavy, and the regiment could look back. The first campaign since Belgium in 40, competence landing at Salerno, which was on. We were then seconded to the 7th Armoured Division.
Right. Good. Okay.
Is all right?
Yes, great. How are you doing? Are you doing fine?
I'm all right, yes.
Good.
Like a cup of coffee.
Okay, well, yes, sure, we could stop there. Let me just switch the thing.
Okay.
Okay.
So we've done the casualties, have we? Yes, we did.
Yeah. So now you're...
Now we've come to September 43. And we learnt... Did we learn? I knew. Thought about it as pleasure. It was pleasure that we learnt we were to support the 7th Armoured Division.
And was it with pleasure that you learnt you were to support the 7th? So the official record
well, they
says.
Were, they were the popular desert rats, weren't they? Yes, we liked to be with people who were fairly alive. And most of them were. We never had any problems with infantry and other people.
So you
the idea was to land with 5th Army, and it was two corps. It was an American corps and a British corps, which meant there was four divisions basically. That's how it rough works out. We were going to land south of Naples at Salerno. The 7th Armoured Row was to land on D plus 2, and the plan was that the bridgehead would have been established, and that the 7th Armoured Div would land as an armoured division to break out from the bridgehead and move on to Naples. But when we arrived off the beach at Salerno, we were loaded strategically. In fact, the armour was intended to be in the back of the LSTs because there were two deckers. We had a lot of Navy support. We had the Rodney and the Malaya and various other Navy ships. But when we landed 24th Field Regiment landed on the beach. It was not secured and was still under machine gun fire. And first ashore there was the water wagon, which suffered a few holes. But then we were able to get ashore and deploy the regiment. And move, the Guards Brigade moved inland a little bit. But we had, the division had a fairly tough time from infiltration from snipers. There were snipers at Corps headquarters.
German snipers coming?
Yeah, they were there. And so it was a day or two before we could secure the bridgehead. And at one time, it nearly got split in two. The Americans to the south and the Second Corps to the north. And the division, I don't know if you want the division, but it was the 46th, I think, division there, infantry division. However, eventually they were able to secure the bridgehead, but it was several days before we could move ahead.
Sorry, this bridgehead was where? Was it
Salerno?
Salerno, okay.
Yes, it was. And we had to reinforce that with another division. But eventually, we tried, they moved some troops down the peninsula, and some landed near Maiori, and there was a road over the steep hill before we could continue on. Place called Vietri, which I think is mentioned in there somewhere.
And you were, firing all the time? This was...
Well, a lot of the time, yes, there was a lot of firing there to support the counterattacks, really.
And the opposition was quite fierce and well organised?
Yes. Well, then the period was that the Germans realised that they couldn't hold on to Naples, and so they evacuated the Naples area. And we moved on then to the first river, the Volturno, where we had various casualties.
You said earlier that it was one of the disadvantages of this gun is it would overheat, and if you were mortared, that became a problem.
It wasn't a very serious problem. It was one of the problems that if you got mortared, but we got mortared and shelled and so on and so forth, but we were on the move a lot of the time, so that... we had sufficient equipment. I mean, the Americans had tons of equipment there. It was just a question of getting themselves organised.
What was it like working with the Americans? I mean, was the communications between the two corps good, or did you have problems?
I think it was pretty good. They obviously, when you read the history of Salerno. The 8th Army will say they saved their lives at Salerno if they hadn't come up as they did. We wouldn't have been able to move ahead, and that's probably true. I don't think the actual Salerno battle with his
Graham Rowntree, Reel 5.